Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
This is indeed the Brad Sesmat Show, and these are the lovely Skyview Studios. But I am not Brad Sesmat. I am Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports, here with Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. We're filling in for Brad today here on Sports 360 AZ. Gosh, Jody, there's nothing to talk about today. Right? What are we going to discuss?
It's a middle, you know, and Brad is somewhere, I'm sure, cooler, near an ocean.
Right.
And, you know, but there's a lot going on between the Suns, Coyotes, Diamondbacks, World Cup soccer.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
It's busy for middle of summer.
So. Yeah, it's great, though. I'm glad we were not just analyzing the Diamondbacks over and over again, which is a fine thing, but there's other things to talk about, including at 10:20, my colleague Paul Coro from AZ Central Sports is going to give us the latest on LaMarcus Aldridge, which is news everybody wants to hear. And first of all, what's going on in the world of sports is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Stop into Santan Ford for their great variety and selection on new or certified pre-owned vehicles just off the 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. But today, it's all about LaMarcus Aldridge. It was an amazing day, Jody, yesterday. Free agency period began. I think there was more than $1 billion worth of deals. The biggest news for the Suns was that they went ahead and signed Tyson Chandler, which I think is a great move. But then they used that to their advantage, brought him into a meeting in their courtship of LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah. Well, I was reading your article this morning. Nice job, as Good. Always.
Thank you. You're all Thanks for it. Reading it.
And, you know, because I was kind of hearing a lot of things going on between the World Cup and then Suns free agency, Coyotes of the big day. And I'm at the baseball game last night and didn't really get to catch up until late last night with everything and this morning. So, yeah, wise move, no question, because not only is Tyson Chandler a very valuable piece for this team, and they spent the money as such for him, but also it seems a recruiting tool because, you know, again, I was reading the Players Tribune article where this is a Derek Jeter digital venture where players write articles and whatnot, and it's become much bigger. But Tyson Chandler is obviously a big fan of LaMarcus Aldridge.
Right.
And so the meeting went down yesterday, right, in
right.
L.A.? So the Suns are courting LaMarcus. We hope to hear maybe even as soon as today if he chooses to come to the Suns versus the Spurs, right?
It seems like that's what it's come down to. The Lakers knocked themselves out, which was an amazing story. All the reports coming out of L.A. said basically their presentation was not sort of analytical enough, but too much about how he can be promoted in LA and the marketing opportunities. It's really interesting that it's come down to the Suns and it appears the Spurs. To be completely honest, I think it's going to be hard for them to beat a team that is, you know, looks like it's being built for another national or world championship. But I think it's a great sign for an organization that hasn't been in the playoffs in 5 years, Jody, to be in the mix. And I think that it sounds like they did a very nice presentation, bringing in, you know, not only their management, but players like Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, to make a strong case for him to come here. So I was impressed.
And, yeah, Earl Watson, who he knows.
Right.
And who is now an assistant with the team. So very smart. I mean, this would be, Paula, this would be fantastic for
Huge.
The Suns. I mean, last year we saw great steps. You know, 2 years ago, that team was on the verge of a playoff berth. The chemistry was really good.
Right.
And then last year, that all kind of took a step back. And in fact, the chemistry wasn't very good, frankly. So to bring in a player like this, it not only adds the talent that you need to win, but it just kind of puts the Suns. I think right now the Suns are kind of one of those teams that not a lot of people are talking about because they don't have that star power. Again, you don't have, you know, we talk about L.A. and New York.
Sure.
I know they haven't made a splash in free agency, and neither team is very good, frankly.
Right.
But it was great. You know, we still here in Phoenix kind of have that L.A. complex a little bit, and to hear that LaMarcus Aldridge did not click with Kobe Bryant,
yeah,
you know, feels good. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, come on over to Phoenix.
Have
you
one up on L.A.
Here.
Yeah, no question about it. And last word with Tyson Chandler. He is a Mr. Accountability. I recommend people go read some of the stories in Dallas about his past 2 years there. Not only did he help him get to a championship when he was there, but he also is a guy who held players accountable. And I think that's what the Suns need right now more than anything, especially if you mention the words Morris Twins. Anyway, Paul Coro again coming up shortly. And we're going to ask him what's going to need to be done if they indeed are able to get Aldridge to come to the Suns. All right. Jody, I know you had the Diamondbacks game yesterday, but you probably saw this all over social media. I'm not kidding. This may be the worst sports moment I ever witnessed, and it was World Cup heartbreak in the semifinals against Japan versus England. This is the game that's going to set up who the U.S. plays. Laura Bassett of England, I think it was the 92nd minute of the game, she's trying to clear the ball, but sends the ball basically off the crossbar into her own team's goal. England loses that way. The look on her face, oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it just made my stomach sick.
Yeah, I mean, I was obviously tuned in with the D-backs game and locked in there, but what I saw on Twitter were just tweets like, oh my, you know, she's going to need, you know, a lot of hugs right now. This is awful for her, Laura Bassett. And just, it's just one of those things that, it happens in sports, but when it happens on a huge stage like this,
my gosh.
You know, we're talking about the World Cup and it's just a huge event. Obviously, Fox is broadcasting those games, so it's been a big endeavor for our network. But I mean, to see the heartbreak on her face, to see her laying the still picture in the paper today, laying on the ground. I mean, it's just awful. And you're right. There are moments like that in sports, and we definitely saw one last night.
And that's part of the challenge with social media now. That thing is going to be alive for the rest of her life. It's going to be listed in the top 10 worst moments in sports. It's going to be, you know, on Vine and on Twitter. And I know after the game, her coach said the right things. You know, we're here for her. We don't blame her. There are other things that went wrong. We're going to offer her a lot of support. But her name is going to be now in the language of sports awful moments. And you just feel bad because you see things happen in sports a lot. Guys miss, you know, game-winning shots. Or you think of the Cardinals Super Bowl and the last play of the game. I mean, things happen. But it's tough when you're putting the ball in your own goal.
And even without social media, I mean, think about Bill Buckner. I mean, that's alive and well.
There you go.
You know, really prevalent when there was no social media. There weren't even cell phones back then. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. And I guess I honestly, soccer is not my forte as far as covering that sport or knowing a lot about it. But I guess England really played well. They were an underdog and they played well. So that's unfortunate.
The Buckner thing is a great point because you mentioned his name now. I don't think of his long career in Chicago. I think of, or other places, I think of that play.
Exactly.
Really tough. All right. On a more positive note, and I think it's good for hockey fans to hear positive when we're talking about Coyotes. This a story yesterday that had nothing to do with them moving or arguments with Glendale. It sounded, Jody, like they had a really good the story got kind of lost, I think, with all the NBA stuff going on. But the day one of the NHL free agency period was very good to the Coyotes. I think a lot of respect for Don Maloney. A lot of familiar names came back, right? Antoine Vernette, which is a very popular name, McCulloch, and then some of the tough guys they got. Steve Downey, they mentioned, a center, and Brad Richardson. Boyd Gordon, is back. So it sounds like pretty impressive.
It is. I mean, you know what? With everything that's gone on legally with the city and the team, yesterday was just a total victory. And Don Maloney just continues to do, you know, obviously there have been, every GM makes, you know, trades and things. Last year was Sam Gagner. He did not work out. This year, you know, they get back. These are guys they traded and got prospects for in Vermette and McCulloch, and now they get those guys, plus they still have the guys they traded them for.
Right.
Boyd Gordon is a great fit. He's a great face-off guy. You mentioned Richardson, Steve Downey. He's interesting because he's a guy that led the NHL in penalty minutes last year, but he also can score a little bit. So, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. Got a backup goaltender, too, in Lindback. So, and Don Maloney knows that they're going to need these guys to go with a lot of young prospects that are coming up. And so that mix, and they're going to still have to add a few more guys, maybe another defenseman. But right now they're on solid footing right now heading into, you know, training camp coming up soon.
And, you know, I was reading a lot of stories, Sarah McClellan from our paper, Craig Morgan, who does a great job for Fox Sports Arizona, and then some of the national things. And a prevailing theme seems to be that they also did it financially wise. You know, they got a lot of good players. They still have, I think, a million or so, or they're below the salary cap, which gives them the opportunity to maybe sign some of their, or get new contracts for some of their restrictive free agents. So I'm, you know, I've said this for years, but I've been really interested to see when the Coyotes have calm around them, when there's not talk about movement, when there's not this bickering with Glendale, or is this going to happen? if they really have a true opportunity to win fans over, because I still feel like there's a little disconnect with some of the Valley. I think people don't know if they're going to always be here. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't had a chance to spend the money to really get attention. So I'm wondering, when things settle down, where the community will be with this team.
And I agree with you, but you know what? They have fought, Gary Bettman, frankly. I know a lot of mm-hmm. people have issues with Gary Bettman, but if you live in the Valley, I'm telling you, he's fought hard for
Absolutely.
The Coyotes to stay, and I don't know what more you can expect. I mean, yes, there's talk about other teams coming in. They've made that commitment. I don't see them. I mean, whatever happens down the line, we know about the 5-year deal. You know, that's a little bit down the line. And
right.
as far as the loss of revenue, hopefully, if you get more fans in the building, they're going to try to put a winning product out there. I think fans have no reason to think this team is not going to stay, because they've already been through hell and back, and
right.
they're here, okay?
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know what the risk is, why people are afraid, you know, so emotionally, if that's your worst emotional fear is about a sport, you know, there's a lot more in life than sports.
Right.
You know, come on, jump on the band, just support your team.
Well, just as a hockey fan, I would love to see them get in the postseason. Those whiteouts are, I mean, playoff mm-hmm. hockey, some of the best postseason competition you can find in professional sports. All right, those are the lovely dulcet tones of Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. I'm Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports. We are filling in for Brad Sesmat here on Sports 360 AZ. And coming up, Paul Coro from AZ Central Sports updating us on the latest about LaMarcus Aldridge.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports. Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona, filling in. And there is no topic people in the Valley are more interested in hearing about than Suns free agency. Suns signed Tyson, or bringing in Tyson Chandler. Are they also going to get LaMarcus Aldridge? Let's pose that question to Paul Coro, my colleague and friend at AZ Central Sports. How you doing, Paul? Did you get much sleep last night?
Finally, at some point. I think there was one point where you were like, well, Tyson or LaMarcus Aldridge isn't going to pick the Suns tonight, so go ahead and rest.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, you got to make that decision. So, Paul, what is the latest? Have you heard anything this morning, or is it kind of the same as what it was last night?
Yeah, he's still got to wrap up his meetings. He had seven teams in all, and he was going to see them all out. You know, I don't know that Toronto or New York are serious players, but nobody would have said that about the Sun before yesterday. And, in the East, you can always pitch that to join a team, and you move into contention pretty fast. But all indications are that he wants to stay in the West, and still favor San Antonio because he's got some family things as well as the contention that are a pull there. He's got a couple kids, and he's from Dallas. He played at UT, and mom's there. So there's a lot of some ex-teammates are with the Spurs. So there's a lot of things still going in the Spurs' favor.
So what can tip the scales for the Suns? Obviously, Tyson Chandler comes on. Earl Watson was part of that meeting. We heard that he didn't connect with the whole L.A. presentation. I mean, what do you think, what more could the Suns do? And maybe how effective was what they did yesterday, Paul, to get him to come to Phoenix?
Yeah, I think it was really effective. I think they started in the outside gate in this race, and they charged right up to the front, and it's a matter of how they close down. So I think, you know, what they did that the Lakers couldn't do was offer a style and an offense that is to his suiting. You know, he wants to be a four. The Suns have, you know, lined up 2-5 now with Chandler Lynn. He's a spread guy. He likes to play with point guards or share the ball. That's, you know, they got two of those in Knight and Bledsoe, and, you know, he has a lot of respect for Tyson Chandler and has always wanted to play with him. And so, you know, they were proactive. I mean, they, like what Paula wrote today, Tyson Chandler fits a lot of Suns' needs anyways, and he'll be fine regardless. But to get that done and walk into that meeting with him and Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight and kind of quash all those rumors about Bledsoe by including him in the meeting, then that said a lot for him.
We're talking to Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports. He's done an amazing job covering all this crazy free agency stuff. And I'm with you, Paul. I think the Spurs are clearly the favorites, and you know, that's a tough thing to compete with. But if we're going to play hypothetics for a minute, and this does happen, let's say LaMarcus Aldridge decides on the Suns, what are some of the scenarios you see happening to make it possible? Because I know financially they're going to have to make some moves.
Yeah, it's going to take more than just releasing some cap holds and things like that. They're going to have to trade some players. They might have to give up some of these picks that they've stockpiled to encourage people to take some contracts. They'll try to explore sign-in trades with Portland and even Dallas with Chandler. And Portland doesn't seem too interested in sign-in trades so far. You would think maybe they would want something in return. It's, you know, historically bad for teams to just let a player walk for nothing. It usually takes a while to recover from that. See Amari Stoudemire. guys like PJ Tucker and Archie Goodwin and maybe the Twins, to whatever extent that the people are interested in them, given the court case hanging over them. But those are, you know, Markieff is still, it's improved every year and is considered to be on a good contract.
You know, with this team, you know, obviously LaMarcus Aldridge coming here could really change the momentum for this franchise. But if he does not choose Phoenix, and let's say he ends up going to San Antonio, you still have Chandler. What other moves do you see the Suns making, Paul?
Well, at that point, you know, they're not going to spend just to spend. This is their big target. They're swinging for the fences. They need a star and going to go overspend on the B list of players. They still like their core. And so I think they move forward with some, still trying to address some size and shooting and that third backup point guard role. But it wouldn't be anything to the degree of the type of guys we're talking about now.
Jody Jackson, Jody, you've just joined AZ Central Sports.
In a way, I have.
How about that? Yeah, Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports. I'll get this out. We're talking to my colleague, Paul Coral, AZ Central Sports. You know, I was thinking of all this talk about LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul. How do you think Alex Len is handling it? Do you think does that trouble him at all? Or I know he's a young enough guy, he's imagined something like this would happen, but how do you think he's dealing with it?
Well, you know, Alex is a driven person and he works really hard. So there's got a little bit of it that thinks he, you know, has arrived because he started last year, but he's also just 22 years old and has really barely played, you know, had a summer league these 2 years. He started maybe half the season last year. And even when he started, he was only playing 24 minutes a game. So going to a backup role allows him to come along a little bit more slowly and be mentored by somebody that he respects. You know, they're signing Tyson Chandler at 32, and he's going to be by the time the season starts. So there's a good chance they're going to need Alex Len an awful lot over the next 4 years. And you know, maybe it's just a thing where Tyson Chandler is starting for a year or two before Alex Len can take over when he's really ready for the job instead of just being kind of forced into it by the situation.
You know, you mentioned the sign-in trades and if they get Aldridge and things that might have to happen, other players that would go. And we talked a little bit about the Morris twins. And with the things that happened last year, their legal troubles, and even just the rift with the fans, I mean, is that overblown inside the organization? Can these guys come back and be, you know, members of the team and contribute and be a positive force? Or are these guys that you don't expect to see on the roster next year, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, internally, there's a lot of rolled eyes about some of the stuff they've done, but they're not disliked figures or anything like that. You know, they just have some bad decision-making at times.
Yeah.
You know, as far as players, they've improved. Like I mentioned before, the contracts that they got them to are pretty good values, considering especially the type of player Markieff improved into the last couple of years. Where it affects them more is trade value. Just because of their reputation, and you don't know how this court case that just keeps getting dragged out all summer is going to end up being resolved. I don't anticipate that ending in anything other than, you know, something like a plea agreement or something that's minimal. But, you know, if they are convicted of a felony, then you got suspensions that come into play with that. So, you know, those two guys at the end of last season were among the players both talking about how the team needed leadership, because they were part of the, you know, thing where they had been empowered so much by being together that they were starting to be some of the biggest voices around. And they, among others, realized that this team needed a leader, and they were asking management for one. So somebody like Tyson Chandler would be do a world of good for them if they're still here.
Paul, are they still considered a package deal, do you think? If the Suns have to make a move, are they guys that still need to play together, or do you sense that's changed at all?
I would hope not. I mean, this is not the Boys and Girls Club, you know.
That's a great line.
Families don't have to be on the same team. and I think those guys, from talking to them, have grown up to the point where they would obviously prefer to be together. They're best friends on top of being brothers. They're separable and live together and all that kind of stuff and do almost everything together. But they've also said that they would be mature enough and think they would be all right if spread apart again. And maybe they suffered coming out of college because it was the first time they had gone through it and they were just, you know, still 21, 22 years old or whatever. And now they're a little bit older and a little bit more established in the league for it to happen. So I think the Suns would have a hard time making a deal that has the team take both of them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. One last thing I wanted to ask you, Paul, is just sort of what is the perception among sort of management and the team with Eric Bledsoe this off season? It sounds like, from what I understand, he's been around there a lot. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a night and day difference, and you can see it, including him yesterday in the Aldridge trip, to have him be one of the people that was talking to him shows how much they believe in him. And there was a lot of frustrations internally and then in the organization here, and that his name was being thrown all around, and when he really wasn't being shot by them. Eric's been a night and day difference from last offseason when they barely could communicate with him. And I'm sure a lot of that was, you know, on the recommendation of his agent, because that negotiation was hanging around all summer, and you can see how they wanted to avoid that by nipping Brandon Knight right in the bud. But Bledsoe's been in the gym. He had a camp in town last week. You know, he's on this visit. He's doing all the things that you want to hear from him as far as being embedded into the organization and the community.
All right. Well, exciting times around the Suns. We'll all be waiting to hear about LaMarcus Aldridge and some of the other things going on. Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks,
bye, Jody.
Paul. Maybe we'll see you at the ballpark again. He makes a rare appearance.
I hope so.
Well,
but maybe
you.
I'll be in a seat instead of the press box.
There you go, with a beverage and a snack,
right.
Not a press box.
It'd be a nice,
like a different, you know, yeah. Just like Lolo's or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I saw.
Yeah.
By the way, Lolo's at the
that.
Park. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, now I'm hungry, but we've got more sports to talk about. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports, Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. We are going to be back in a few minutes, shifting gears, talk a little bit of baseball with Dejon Watson, the Diamondbacks Senior VP of Baseball Operations, here on Arizona Sports or Sports 360 AZ.
And welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show, streaming live on Sports360AZ.com and Arizona Sports Center. There I go, Paula. AZCentralSports.com.
You got it.
I know. Jody Jackson, Paula Bovin, of course, Paula from the Arizona Republic, AZCentral.com, and myself, Fox Sports Arizona reporter, covering a lot of Diamondbacks these days. And we are joined right now by Dejon Watson, Diamondbacks Senior VP of Baseball Operations. And Dejon, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, Jody, thanks so much for having me. How are you, Paula?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, Dejon, I was thinking, I've seen a lot of tweets this morning with the international signings, but I guess you guys had your Christmas shopping not here in July, but with Yoan Lopez and Yasmani Tomas. So a little bit different for you today, maybe, right?
Not so much different. You know, just we won't see us making any major splashes, you know, with crazy dollars being thrown out there, but we signed roughly about 16 guys this morning.
So you have been busy.
We've been extremely busy this morning. Just not making that national news, you know, like with the other guys that are getting crazy dollars being thrown at them this morning. But we do. I feel like we made a pretty good impact on the international market. We found us a kid in Taiwan that we like. A kid in Bahamas, a shortstop that we like.
That's Jazz, right? I love that name.
Yes. So it's going to be, man. I'm so excited about seeing this young man do his thing. I saw him early when we first came on last year. Down in Fort Lauderdale when he was showcased with the other kids out of Dominican and Venezuela. And so it was an opportunity for me to see him here, see him there. And then Craig Shipley picked him up and finished this thing off and followed up and got it done. So we're really excited about him We do have a couple of really good-looking young arms that we're excited about that should be in the fold here in just a matter of minutes. So they're down there getting the contract signed and doing the big production in the DR. We had a couple of kids from Venezuela, so it's been a busy, busy morning. Trust me when I tell you that.
I believe you.
Well, Dijon, and you're talking about young arms people are excited about, and I know one of those is Archie Bradley, is great fan support and interest here. Have you guys heard any news? I know that he was getting his shoulder looked at.
He met yesterday with Dr. Andrews. I have not heard anything back other than the fact that the first findings were very, very similar to what Dr. Andrews saw. So we don't think there's anything major, as far as structurally wrong with the arm. I'm going to get a little more clarity from Ken Crenshaw later on today. But just a brief little text message that I received late last night was that, it looks very similar to what Dr. Wozlowski had originally diagnosed with him. So we're just going to give him some time off. Try and let this little, I guess, bicep tendonitis fill itself up, and then we'll take it from there.
It's an exciting time in baseball today with Jose Fernandez coming back from Tommy John. I guess he hit a home run as well today. But, Matt Moore's coming back, and then Patrick Corbin. I know you guys have said he's an option for Saturday night. Just how much excitement is there for you guys as an organization to get Patrick back and on the mound after 16 months of Tommy John rehab?
Well, Jody, the biggest thing is really getting healthy and getting the young man healthy. Really, for us, it's about his career and the longevity of his career because we know what he's capable of doing when he's healthy. So I think the process of going through the proper channels to make sure we've dotted every I, we've crossed every T, and there are no setbacks once he gets back on, active on our active 25. Watching, the progression for him and having to run into one of his rehab starts in Mobile about 2 weeks ago. And, he was 90 to 96. The breaking ball was there. Stamina was the only thing that was missing. He got into the fifth inning, and you could see the delivery kind of breaking down a little bit. So the biggest thing is to make sure that he's physically prepared to go out there and compete because once you at the major league level, all the players are exceptionally talented. So that focus turns up, the adrenaline goes up, and if the body isn't ready to go out there and compete against those better players, it'll be a rougher return for him. So, again, for us, it was making sure that, again, he got enough reps, the stamina is built up, and that the arm health is there, and he feels comfortable about where he is, and he's not having any second doubts or second-guessing himself running out there.
Dijon, I thought last September you made a very brave decision leaving an organization that was successful, had some pretty deep pockets, to come to the Diamondbacks that have a very good reputation but were coming off, frankly, an awful season last year. I'm curious how you're working with Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa, because I'm sure the relationship among the three of you has to be successful for you guys to sort of move forward, and I'm wondering how that's all going.
Well, Paula, for me, it's been a great experience. Having met with Tony during the interview process, and Derek Hall I had met before when I interviewed the first time for the GM job, and the way Tony kind of presented the whole opportunity, it just was something that was new. I've done basically, I've had almost every role in professional baseball other than the GM title per se, but the job responsibilities, I think Stu and I, we cross over in some of the areas, but our communication has been great. As a matter of fact, before I got on this call, Dave was calling me so we could kind of go through our day this morning, and I got off with him to get on with you guys. So the communication has been phenomenal. I've learned so much from Tony already just on really at the major league level and what, the team building, the chemistry among the big league club, the coaching aspects. I've been very fortunate in my career to be around some Hall of Fame guys. And, this is just another one to add to the list that I'm able to pick his brain and get some different pieces to the game that may help me as I continue to grow and evolve as an organizational leader in a leadership position.
Dijon, I hear a lot of people talk about the D-backs at this point in the season, and some people talked that the 500 thing was really overblown, or getting to 500. But when you look at overall with this team, I think you have to be somewhat pleased given that, not only are you coming off the season that you had, but you've had a pitching staff that, you had some guys that were unproven. You've had to insert them into the rotation. You have your catcher who went down in Tuffy, and you brought in, Wellington and Salty. They've done a nice job. What is your thought on where you are right now? Let's face it, we're pretty much at the halfway mark. How do you feel about the way the team is performing?
Man, I think we're in a good place. I think, you look at the big league club, they're playing competitive baseball every single night. What I have to take my hat off to Chip and the coaching staff, because they're pushing these guys to compete on a nightly basis. And these guys never give up. They're in every ball game. I think offensively, I thought we were going to be kind of the club that we are. There will be days where we're going to kind of scuffle, but there will be more days where we're going to drive some baseballs. And we haven't hit as many home runs as I thought we would, especially I thought Tomas would get more balls in the air, but he's definitely hitting for average and has been able to kind of hold the lineup together behind Goldie, which has been a big positive for us. We had lost Lamb early. I thought Tomas did a tremendous job of stepping in at third base when, you know, again, when we signed the guy, we knew he was an outfielder, but he could play third, and I thought he played a very good third base while Lamb was out. I think it's a young group that's continuing to grow and evolve. You look at the trades that we made, you know, you have Ruby De La Rosa, who flashes you plus-plus stuff at times, and then you have Chase Anderson, who's been extremely steady, and this is really his first full season at the major league level. Robbie Ray, a guy who we acquired in a trade, you know, who's been up and down, and here he is, you know, he comes up, you know, and he's been, I'd say, pretty good, even though he took a loss yesterday. But, I mean, goodness, he's given us an opportunity to win these games, to keep us in ball games. Webby came up, you know, carried a no-hitter in his first one, and he's been getting hit around a little bit. But, again, we're trying to get these young guys established. And so if you look at, for me, from my standpoint, where I am, I see us, you know, taking an opportunity to grow and assess where we are organizationally. I think we have a clearer picture now of what we need as we continue to build and move forward. I'm looking at some of the trades we've made and the players that we've acquired. Again, getting Wilkin Castillo. No one talks about the pieces that we got on the backside of that, and Reheimer and Guerrero. And these two kids are really good-looking players, and they jump right into our top 10 right away. So it's like, you know, you're creating value in the organization as well as impacting your big league club with a guy who comes in and kind of holds down that catching position. You know, we pick up Salty for the minimum, and this guy, again, has been a perennial good player. We just have to try and get that swing turned around, but his catch and fingers behind the plate have been, you know, consistent. So I kind of like where we are, and we're at the halfway point. You know, eventually we will run through that 500 mark. I'm not really concerned about that. I think the biggest thing for us is continue to try and win series. But yesterday we had a chance to get back and win a series yesterday. But, you know, again, Chip has done a tremendous job. I think Hark is working his tail off to try and keep the pitching competitive. We had a stretch there where our starters were just dealing, and then our bullpen was really good. And other times our bullpen has been really good, and our starters haven't been very well. So it's a matter of getting these guys kind of clicking on all cylinders, but they're doing, a really good job in looking at, again, where we are organizationally. If you compare last year and this year, I think, again, we're definitely ahead and we're moving in the right direction.
That's Dejon Watson, Diamondbacks Senior VP of Baseball Operations, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports. Good Lord, why am I having trouble with that today? Jody Jackson.
You guys are both hammering. What's going on?
I know.
Well, there's a lot of titles that involve the word Arizona. So
very
confusing. Don't even, you know, Paula doesn't have to say Fox Sports Arizona. I'm just Jody.
Jody. Yeah, Dejon, I was looking, and I always like to look at Baseball America's ranking of the minor league systems. They seem to do a pretty good job. And I know that this year, I think you guys were six, which was pretty darn impressive. I'm wondering just, you know, how you feel the health of the minor league system is right now with the Diamondbacks. And also, some of the names maybe fans should start being prepared for that maybe we could see coming up soon.
Well, again, I like where we are. Our strength is still our pitching. We do have some young quality power arms, especially bullpen arms. And their names, they're not even on that Baseball America, you know, top 30 or whatever. They do a top 10, they do a top 30. You just never know what they're going to run out there. But we do have some interesting young arms. Even the kid, Weijie, who's going to be pitching in the Futures game. I'm not sure if anyone knew his name, but this is a 21-year-old kid out of Taiwan. He's up to 95 when he's rested, but he pitches comfortably 90-92 with a plus changeup and great command. We have another kid who's down in Missoula from Brazil. His name is Bo Takahashi. Not a very big guy, but he has tremendous pitching mechanics and delivery. He's 90 to 93 in repeats and has, again, another really good changeup. There's some young arms. I had a chance to see our third-round pick from this year's draft, and he looked really good last night. Taylor Clark, and again, he won't get a ton of work. So I think our top 10 or top 30 will actually change quite a bit as we continue to work our way through this summer. Position player-wise, I had a chance to see Marcus Wilson over in Missoula, and he was swinging the bat and playing really good defense out in center field. We have another kid that we just drafted named Jason Morzowski. Really intriguing kid with intriguing skills. I kind of like where some of the younger guys are and how we're, again, progressing and continue to grow. We're trying to fill in some of the holes on the position player side, but right now the organization is strong. On the pitching side with power arms in the bullpen and some young starters on their way with Johan Lopez, Craig Shipley, Brandon Shipley and Aaron Blair. So we're like, you know, I think we're in a good place.
Good stuff, Dejan. We're going to let you go so Jody and I can practice saying the word Arizona over and over. Thank you for coming on today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dejan.
He knows his stuff there, doesn't he, Jody?
Oh, yeah.
That's some good
info.
It's
just amazing, the organizational, you know, the amount of players that they bring in via draft, free agent signing, you know, 16 players, he said, internationally, and how they get around. And I think between Stu and Tony, obviously, goes to see some of the bigger prospects and just the travel that they do internationally. It's pretty amazing. I think they're set up really well. The thing is, you know, obviously everyone wants to see them make a push here. They're in, you know, you never know.
Right.
Obviously the Dodgers are talented. The Dodgers had played like 30, I think I was talking to Alana Rizzo, their reporter. They have an off day today finally, but they had played something like 34 games in 35 days or something crazy.
Jeez.
And they didn't look too bad last night.
No.
Let's just put it that way. You know, they have pitching like they usually do. And it's a tough division, but, you know, I guess that's why I say, I know maybe fans don't understand why I would say that's overblown with 500, right. But to me it's about, if you get to 500 and then you lose six in a row, it
right.
doesn't really matter that you got to 500. I guess for me it's what he said, which is about you're moving forward and it's,
right.
and it's going pretty well. You're learning more. I liked what he said about they're learning about what they will need in the future.
Absolutely. So. And it feels, at the very least, it feels like they have some vision, which I wasn't sure about that last season.
And they have Goldie.
And they have, oh yeah. Oh, and there's that Goldie
guy.
Yeah. All right. We are going to switch gears from sports for a Brit to movies to talk with Bill Goody-Koontz of AZ Central Sports. Goody at the Movies coming up here on Sports 360 AZ. That music can only mean one thing. It's Bill Goody-Koontz time, our Gannett chief film and media critic. It's time for Goody at the Movies. He's going to break down some movies for us. Goody, how you doing?
I'm good. I am in the mountains of Virginia.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Are you on vacation? Or?
I am.
Oh, how
well,
nice
thanks for
you.
Joining us anyway.
Yeah, well, I got to know it's that or spend more time with my family. So.
Did you see Magic Mike last night?
I did not see Magic Mike, and somebody else is going to see Magic Mike for us. You know, but people talked about the first Magic Mike and how much it surprised people. They thought it was going to be this kind of like, you know, like softcore porn from it. Turns out it's like an actual movie.
There's an actual storyline, huh? I haven't seen either one, but I'm guessing you don't have to see one to see two.
I don't think it's, you know, one of those like real heavy lifting things. But I remember I've talked to Matthew McConaughey a couple times. And he was talking about something about, like, the way he talks and all that stuff. And I said something about, you know, my oldest daughter is 16, and she really likes this and that that you said. And he was like, oh, my God, not in Magic Mike, right? And I was like, no. He's like, what?
That's funny.
Sorry I derailed us there with Matt. I just had to get my Magic Mike question out.
All right.
Let's I was just going to say, that daughter turned 17 and now reminds me she can go to any R-rated movie she wants.
Yeah, that's right. So be prepared to grill her. All right. I know that, Bill, you did your top 10 2015 movies to this point. Let's start at number 3. What did you have? And I think it's It Follows. Is that right?
It Follows.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
It's a horror movie.
Yes.
And I like horror movies generally.
Me too.
But what I liked about this one was there's only one gory scene in it. And this is the beginning. What it really is, it's remember like the Halloween movies and stuff like that? I loved Halloween.
Me too.
And those movies in the late 70s and 80s, they were always like, I mean, there's no other way to say it. What they were often about was whichever kids had sex got killed. And then like the virginal girl, like Jamie Lee Curtis, would survive and, you know, kill the bad guy or whatever. And it's sort of like that. What happens is, it's set in the present time, but this girl, she has a boyfriend. They finally have sex, and he chloroforms her and like handcuffs her, and you think, oh God, he's gonna kill her. And he says, here's the thing. This evil presence is following me, but now I've given it to you.
Mm.
And if it catches you, it'll kill you.
Ooh.
You have to pass it on to somebody else if you want to live, and it will never stop. And if it kills the person you pass it on to, it reverts back to you. And so this whole movie, only she can see it, and it can take any form. It can look like any person. And it's just so creepy. And the way that it's made is, like, you'll see what's going on in the screen, but off in the corner, you'll see somebody come walking toward them. And you're like, well, is that? can anybody else see that? Can anybody else, you know? It's really creepy. It's just really well done. And they obviously have liked some of the really good scary movies. And it's just, I loved it. I could watch that thing. The problem, the one thing, if you're like one of these sort of hardcore horror fans, I had some people call me afterwards and they're like, well, that was the most boring movie I've ever seen in my life. Well, I'm sorry nobody's head got cut off.
It sounds fascinating. So, okay, following that up, what now? Number two, I believe, is a movie that I actually saw last weekend. Tell us what number two is.
Inside Out.
I loved it. I actually saw a movie. Goody. Yay.
Did you cry?
I did. I'm the only one in my group, my husband and two children, I'm the only one that cries. I cry like multiple times in these movies.
If you don't cry at that movie, I'm sorry. The thing I like about that movie is, like, you really earn that crying, too, you know? It's such a great idea for a movie that, like, you know, like, that, you know, your emotions are actually these cute little creatures that live in your head, and they, like, you have anger, and you have joy, and you have sadness, and all those guys. The whole thing about, you know, the girl moving and joy and sadness get lost, so she's kind of off the rails. I just thought that the creativity of it was great, but then it was also really funny. And I don't know, I mean, a gazillion people have already seen it, so I still don't want to spoil anything, but boy, when old Bingo Bongo, or whatever his name is, when he makes his fateful decision, that really got me.
That got you? See, mine was, I don't want to give it away, but my moment was more toward the end, you know, that particular family moment, maybe. But yeah, the kids love, oh my gosh, I can't remember it now, Bingo Boing, whatever his name was, the kids just love that guy. But it was really cute, and it's funny because all I can think is the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce probably doesn't like this movie very much, but it was great for she moves from Minnesota to San Francisco, and it's like, you know, their apartment is kind of not, you know, but anyway, it was
It's
really
all sort
cute.
Of sketchy, and they make fun of the place that only has the one, that only has broccoli pizza.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I love broccoli pizza.
What those kind of movies, the animation, and I have to be honest, I tend not to go to animated movies. I don't know why. I have trouble connecting with them. But sometimes they're kind of projected as kids' movies, but they're more adult, and sometimes they're more geared toward kids. Does this work for all ages, Bill?
This is for everybody. Okay. And I think little kids may get lost a little bit, but the animation is great, and it's really pretty. The thing, when Pixar is really on its game, and the last Pixar, the last great Pixar movie was probably Toy Story 3 or Up. Mm-hmm. And they've had kind of, not bad movies, but just not up to their standards lately. But I think this one is back up there. And they're the kind that, like, you don't dread taking your kids to because you like them. It's sort of what you're saying. And I think this one definitely works that way. And maybe even a little more so for grown-ups and older kids than younger kids.
All right, let's go to your number one movie of the 10 best movies of 2015. What is it, Bill, and why'd you like it?
It's Ex Machina, and it's I loved it. It's about this guy played by Oscar Isaac, who's been in a lot of stuff lately. He was inside Llewyn Davis. He's going to be in the new Star Wars movie. He plays this genius guy, like super genius, who like created this kind of better than Google search thing. And he lives on this massive compound, and he gets one of his employees to come live with him for a week. He wins a contest. He's trying to create artificial intelligence. So, you know, like a robot, basically, that can think for itself and have feelings and all that stuff. And so he does this, and he wants this guy to test it. That's where there's this thing called the Turing test, which is named after, by the way, the guy in the Benedict Cumberbatch plays in The Imitation Game. But it's the test is, can you tell whether this is a human or a robot? And this one robot ends up being pretty close. So they're like, you know, close to what they're looking for. It turns out Oscar Isaac is crazy. The other guy is a little too innocent, and the robot has, like, ulterior motives. And it's just, it's creepy, and it's weird, and it's really great.
Sounds like a good combination. Before we let you go, Bill, if I understand correctly, you had talked to Sir Ian McKellen recently. I would love to know what he's like just on a conversational standpoint. How was that, the great English actor?
He was great. He's got to be one of the most down-to-earth guys. He was like, you know, you get to these people that have they've been around for a while, and they've done all these great movies, and you got to ask them, you know, did you look back to you? Do you ever look back on your good movies and all that stuff? And you got to imagine this in his voice, you know, but he's like, oh my God, would there be anything more dreadful than one sitting around watching one's movie? And I was just like, I kind of felt like, no, if I made movies, I think I would do that. But those guys don't. He was just really cool. And he was, he and Derek Jacobi were the grand marshals in the Pride Parade in New York right after the Supreme Court decision came down. And he was really cool about that. He was just the nicest guy, you know. That some of them, you can tell it's like, I'm just doing this. I mean, I'll be nice to you, but as soon as we hang up this phone, I'm going to, like, you know, forget you and all. And I'm sure he forgot me, too. But it's a whole lot like when I worked in sports. It was like being in the Suns locker room or something, you know. Like, to an observer who didn't know either one of you, if they saw you having the conversation you were having, they would think, oh, those guys must be friends. And it's like, well, no, actually we're not, because as soon as I hit the stop button on my tape recorder, neither one of us is going to give the other the time of day. I mean, you know, it's the same sort of thing. It's all just, you know, all a job.
All a job indeed. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like he was a little bit more, I don't know, receptive to the interview than Russell Crowe. I remember we talked and he got a little chippy, it sounded like.
Russell Crowe did not. But if I'm going to blame myself, I'll say Russell Crowe did not suffer fools gladly. Ian McKellen actually suffered fools pretty well. In fact, I asked one question. He's like, I don't understand that question. And I was like, okay, well, let's ask it a different way. He's like, absolutely.
I think we've all been there. I know I have.
Just there the other day, yeah. All right, well, thank you, Goody, for joining us. Bill Goody-Kunz, Gannett's chief film and media critic. Go to azcentral.com, and you'll see all his great reviews, including the top 10 of 2015. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right, coming great back, stuff. We're going to shift a little bit back to sports. LaMarcus Aldridge, we can't stop talking about it. We'll update you if there's any news. Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports on Sports360AZ.com.